What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Outspoken, informative,
the Jaguar Journal.
Your source for the latest information on Southern University sports and SWAC athletics.
A Baton Rouge sports talk tradition.
All right, good morning, everybody. It is the Jaguar Journal. Of course, I am Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. And you know, when you hear my voice and you hear it's the Jaguar Journal, that means it is Saturday morning. Beautiful Saturday morning, too, if you've been outside here in South Louisiana, here in Baton Rouge. And actually, pretty much this week has been beautiful. Really have enjoyed it, enjoyed the weather, been outside and been able to move around. I hope you guys are doing the same. It's that time of year. You know, it's that time of the year to get active, to get outside. Are you still keeping up? You remember back in January when I asked about those New Year's resolutions, right? And one of them is always that weight loss journey. Are you still on that weight loss journey? Or whatever the case may be, in order to help yourself get better this year, what have you been doing in order to improve your 2026? And as we continue to move through the year, April is right around the corner. Spring is here. Things are blossoming. For people who understand the spring like I do, allergies. Jesus, man. Do y'all have bad allergies? I do. I'm talking about Claritin, Zyrtec. Shout out to my man Kevin Walker, too. Looking out for me, man. I'm talking about I be needing my plug on my allergy medicine. And my man Kevin Walker gets me right. And I appreciate him for that. But for everybody, man, good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. We're going to get things rocking and rolling on today's show. A lot to talk about today, too. We're going to look at have my man Zach McKenna. We're going to talk about the FCS top 30 recruiting class, more so out of the transfer portal. It's football season, so, and I know at the end of the day, that's what you guys want to talk about. I come on here and talk about a lot of stuff. But when I talk about football, that always gets the excitement. That always gets the views. I try to give you everything else from politics to education to health, whatever the case may be. Finance, y'all want to talk football, and I get it. Well, guess what? It's that time of the year, spring football. I've been out at practice checking out the Jaguars this week. I tell you this, today we're going to focus on the defensive side of the ball as last week we looked at the offensive side of the ball. But when we go to the offensive side of the ball, I must admit, I will tell y'all, I do like the go-go offense. I think once the time comes when we can truly get the personnel to fit it, it can be something to deal with. I like the multiple option run options out of the go-go. Anybody, many of y'all out there, you don't really know me. You hear me come on here talk, but you may not know me personally. But those that know me personally on the football side know I love to run the ball. That is my style of offense. I believe it creates physicality, and it creates a tougher defense having to go against an offense that's just going to wham you all practice, all game. And for me, after four quarters, who's going to be standing and who's going to be leaning, especially with teams that do not have the talent at the depth? As you start to get past your starters, your first string guys, but I love the run options out of the go-go offense. And if you guys have not seen it, hey, go look it up for yourself. Get a chance to see. It creates what I like about it. It's not that same old just inside zone, hand it off, pitch it out. This offense creates so many mismatches to where defense really have to play discipline. And I love it. I love the speed option out of it. I love the passing dynamic. And of course, I'm still one of those, which I'm glad, of the tight end position. But for those of you who have never seen it, and you're unfamiliar, you like the go-go, yes, it has a name, the go-go offense, but it's a truly unique offense. And I say unique, it's really old school, just brought into modern ways. It's nothing more than what you would consider the wishbone, just now packaged in a shotgun formation. Pretty much all it is. Packages in a shotgun formation, now creating it, calling it the RPO. Run pass option. But it gives you so many different looks from the fact of the shotgun formation. And it has some under center to it as well. But I'm telling you guys, I like it. It's my type of offense when you can run the ball down an opponent's throat. Pause. But you get it. Mike, don't give me that eyebrow up. But I love it. So I'm looking forward to see how this offense continues to go. And just looking at it, I think Ken Merchant is going to have his hands full trying to get the right personnel in. Looking at the quarterback battle, and it's just, you know, reiterating from last week as today's show is going to be defensive heavy, but Stroud has the command. I will put it like that. He is the commander. You can tell he has the command. He wants to be the leader. But the McCauley kid from Long Beach, California, why McCauley? Let me tell you. He has that athletic ability about him. He seems to more fit the style of what the go-go offense is actually looking for, an athletic, mobile quarterback. I wouldn't say he's just the most dual threat, but out of the room right now from what I see, it's the most athletic. I'm looking at the running back room, too. Southern has some big running. Hey, Trey Holly, that's all I can say. I really do like Barry Remo. I think for me, Barry Remo, as good as he is, he's a little stiff in the hips. He's stiff. He don't have that cut to him. Trey Holly has vision. He has the agility. He can step on you. He can spin on you. Or he can flat out just run you over. Trey Holly is the it factor. There's no other way I can say. He is the bright spot for this offense coming into this year. And from what I've been seeing. Now, I'm not saying nothing wrong with the running back room, because they are deep. But you can tell why Trey Holly is who he is. When I talk about coming out of high school as Louisiana's all-time leading rusher on the high school side, being able to be a four-star recruit, making it to LSU, you see why. He does the right things I would say about 95% of the time. All he has to do is keep the ball from being on the ground, fumbling. But we'll get back to all of that. And right now, let's get ready to take a break. When I come back on the other side, we're going to talk some softball, Southern University softball. I can't ask you how you've been keeping up with it because I've been bringing it to you each and every week. And when I bring it to you this week, you'll see where Southern University softball stands as Coach Brittany Williams joins the show here. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal. Everybody, good morning. We are back. It's the Jaguar Journal. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us bright and early on a Saturday morning. Good morning to everybody watching on our Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitch. We're live on all of them. And everybody listening across the Baton Rouge Capital City area on Talk 107.3 FM. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. Of course, as we've been talking throughout the entire spring semester, we have consistently been keeping you guys up to date with what's going on with Southern University softball. And once again, here joining us this morning is Southern University head softball coach, Coach Brittany Williams. Good morning, Coach Williams.
Good morning. Good morning.
Glad to have you on with us. You guys have been finding success this year. 20 wins so far on the season. You've won 10 of your last 11 games. One loss on the road last week in game one in that three-game series against Pine Bluff. But you shook back. You got them back together. And we've been on this journey with you from the very first pitch of the season all the way to where we're at now. And for you, 20 wins on the season, looking back at it this time last year, about where were you when you see the when you looking at the uptick of the program this year compared to last year?
Last year we were, you know, good defensively and needed a little help offensively around this time. So this year we're on track to beat last year's record and continue to grow the program.
You know, go back to that series with Grambling. You guys get it done 10-0, 7-1, 6-5 in three games. Then you take on Louisiana Christian 12-7, 6-3. Then you go on the road to Pine Bluff and you drop game 1, 2, 3, and then you had a chance to talk to us that next day and say, just getting the young ladies back on track, play the ball that you teach them to play, and that's having that culture and having fun. And you come back and win 4-0, 13-9 to win that series. You host Xavier 2-1, 6-2 in two games. And then this weekend, having Alcorn at home. Yesterday, you win 7-0. You have two games set with them today at 12 and immediately after game 3. Looking at your team coming into these winning streaks of you that you guys have had, and you had them throughout the season, early on a 6-game winning streak, and now right now a 5-game winning streak. What are you saying in order to get these young ladies to play that high-caliber softball that you want them to play?
Man, hearing the winning streaks is new for me. We literally go one game at a time, and that's what I tell them. Each game we're getting better. Our end goal is to win the SWAC tournament. So every day, I told them that journey looks different for each person, each individual, each team, honestly. So each day we work on making sure that we are better so that by the end of the season, there are no holes. And if a win comes with that at the end, we'll take it. So that's why I'm saying the record that you're telling me, like, I didn't even realize we were at 20 wins either. Like, I'm literally taking it game by game.
Don't forget I said it then. Nope. Forget I said it. You're not at 20. I don't want to do anything to jinx you. You're not at 20 wins. We're still trying to get there. But as you look at the season, do you put goals on how many wins we can get within a year? I know the ultimate goal is to win the championship, but what are those goals that you set out for these young ladies to accomplish, to continuously trying to reach?
Our goal for this year was to have selfish individuals that make a complete team. So story behind that is the past few years, I think we maybe had one accolade at the SWAC tournament, making postseason awards and things like that. So our goal was to make sure that each person is grinding so that their name could be in the pot for the end of the season, which makes better athletes, which in turn gives us a better team. So we didn't look at wins and losses. We were looking at really stats, being if we could beat the home run record, seeing if we could beat the steal record, things like that.
You know, I look back last year, you guys finished with an overall record of 22-24. right now already with 20 wins. You're 20-11 on the season. For you, as you continue to build the culture, for anybody out there, what is the culture under Coach Brittany Williams for Southern University softball that we continuously see the improvement? Because when we saw 22 wins last year, it was hip, hip, hooray. It was like, really? Now we are already 20 wins and we still got plenty more games to go.
Yes, the culture is to have fun, because when you're having fun, you don't realize, like, what the record is or what the score is or any of those things. And to be dominant. We want to have a dominant culture. You said I went with 7-0 yesterday, and they got a speech after that because we had bases loaded to end it in the sixth inning, and we still had to continue to play. So for us, it's bigger than the wins. It's clean softball, and that's kind of what's been keeping us motivated and keeping us going. And then when you focus on those goals, the wins come with it.
Let's start going through this roster of young ladies that have been impact players of turning this culture and this program around with Southern University softball. Give us some names of young ladies that's really making some improvements through the development process here in this program.
One person I'm really proud of is Aaliyah Zabala. She is a sophomore this year, was a freshman pitcher last year, behind a really good pitcher that we had, Miranda Roldan. And she didn't get a ton of opportunities last year, but she has stepped up big for us. She's leading the conference in shutouts, and just doing her thing for us on the mound, so keeping us in the game. Offensively, we have a few bats that's been very hot. This is also Abigail Mitchell's first year. She redshirted last year and was able to step in that role as a dominant first baseman and power hitter, getting some RBIs in for us. And we have Layla Clark, who has gotten a hit RBI almost every single game for us. And then my fifth-year senior, Asia George, who decided out of the blue to come back and play her fifth year, which so excited about that. And she's been nothing but consistent in the outfield and definitely a great leadoff for our team.
When you're building a roster with softball, for you, you know, there's different styles. And I'm not the most in the know of styles of offense and defense in softball, but for you, what kind of style of ball do you guys play?
Well, they have shifted my style. I'm a small ball girl, manufacturing runs, tricking the defense. I love the strategy piece of offense. But we have some power hitters that have shown me, like, how important that part of the game is. So I kind of let them do their thing. I tell them what I expect, and they get to choose when they want to do those things. So, for example, Asia, I need at least a minimum a steal a game, if not two. So she picks out when she wants to do it, and she gets it done. Sometimes I'm at third base, and I look up, and they're, you know, on third with me. So they get to think and strategize in the game as well. I let them be free. So I think that's been working for us.
Let's look at this program right now. In 2023, Southern University softball went 13-34 overall, 8-16 in conference play in the SWAC. In 2024, 16-27 overall, 12-12 in the SWAC. 2025, Southern University went 22-24 in overall in the season and 13-11 in conference play. Right now, with 14 games left still to go in the season, Coach, you guys are 20-11. You're 6-4 in conference play, and most of all, you're 9-0 at home. I think the trajectory of the program, anybody can see, is continuously going up, and I think it is going up really just simply of what you've been doing, creating the culture, getting the right fit of players to get in there, and making it fun for them to go out there and play. And not only for you and those players, but give a shout out to your staff and those who are helping to turn around this program and create this success.
Yes, I have to. Coach Joshua Stanford has been with me the longest. He's our recruiting coordinator, so he helped me get those girls that are a great fit for our program. We not only look at talent, but personality as well. So he does that. He vets them. He bugs me about who I need to call and things like that. So he's doing an excellent job with that. Our newest member of the staff is Cameron Atkins. She came on really in January of this year. She played for me in some of those years that you mentioned. So it was great to get her, an alum, to come back. She brought some of the traditional cheers back that we used to do before the game and during the game, and just brought the Southern tradition back to this program. And Alex Stevens, who's also new this year, is a hitting guru. She's been out there coming up with all kinds of drills and things to make sure that our athletes are working hard and working on fundamentals, but also having fun. You don't want to get up there and just hit, do the same drill on the tee every day. And she mixes that up very well, and it definitely shows.
Coach, for everybody out there that want to keep up with the program, you know, aside from listening to you here on the Jaguar Journal, give your social media and everything else so they can keep up with Southern University softball.
Yes, we are at @SUSofball_ on all platforms. We definitely encourage you to follow us there. You can receive game updates, camp updates. That's the quickest way to keep up with Southern softball. We also have our players give you a day in the life so you get to know them outside of the field, see how their classes are going, and just they all have fun personalities. So you get to know them by following us on social media.
And I'll go back to this once again before I get ready to let you go. I'm going to start back in 2023. I just want people to realize the upside of this and where this program is headed. Once again, in 2023, Southern University was 13-34 with an overall record in softball, 8-16 in conference play. They were 16-27 in 2024 and 12-12 in conference play. In 2025, 22 wins, 24 losses, and 13-11 in conference play. And so far this year, 20-11. 20 wins, 11 losses, 6-4 in conference play, 9-0 at home, including a victory over the University of Memphis. Southern University women's softball has won 10 of his last 11 games with 14 games left on the season. Coach, hey, I'm enjoying watching this unfold. I'm enjoying hearing and seeing the journey, and I'm glad we're able to bring this to people so they can keep up with it, and this won't be a secret. Nobody can say it's a secret. It is out there. You can tell Coach Williams is doing something with this program. It shows with the record, everybody. It shows with the wins. And Coach, thank you for all that you do, and for anybody that's out there that wants to help donate to this program, please, Coach Williams, give an email or anything for people to help improve and continue to take this program to the next level.
Yes, of course. It's Brittany, Brittney, Williams01@sus.edu. We are grateful for any donation.
Say that one more time, a little louder for the people in the back.
It's Brittany, Brittney, Williams01@sus.edu.
I appreciate you, Coach Williams. Want to make sure anybody out there that wants to see this program, I know we get caught up into the football and the basketball, but the other sports matter too, and especially when you have a coach like Coach Williams that's turning around the program and have them headed in the right direction. I can't tell you the last time I saw Southern softball at this point in the season, 9-0 at home, and you guys have Alcorn this week, so anybody out there want to get a chance to go out there and check out this turnaround of a program under Coach Williams and her staff, they have Alcorn today, first pitch at 12, game 3 immediately after that. So get a chance to go out there and check these young ladies out and Coach Williams and what they're doing. Winners of 10 of their last 11 and 9-0 at home. Thank you for joining us this morning, Coach Williams, and keep up the good work. And don't remember, hey, you didn't win 20 games yet. You're still trying to get there. All right, everybody. That's the voice of Coach Brittany Williams. She is the softball coach over at Southern University. Let's get ready to take a break. We come back on the side. We'll keep it going here on the Jaguar Journal, okay? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, everybody. We're back. Good morning. It is the Jaguar Journal. Glad to have you guys with us. I'm Perry White, and we got it rocking and rolling on a Saturday morning. And glad to have you guys with us. Listen, as we continue to get talking about football season and getting things going with football season, of course, it's spring football here in Baton Rouge, and when we talk about spring football here in Baton Rouge, we're looking at Southern University, but Southern University, of course, is in the SWAC, and the SWAC is in FCS, and when we talk about the FCS side of things, we're looking at the overall grand scheme of not only the SWAC, and in Louisiana, we have the SWAC, we have the Southland, the SWAC competes against the MEAC in the Celebration Bowl. And nobody better to talk about all of that, because as I wrap this up, for you guys to hear better from him than my man Blue, a.k.a. Zach McKenna. What's up, Blue?
What's good, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. I'm excited. Transfer portal stuff done, and now with no spring window, man, we can start getting a little bit into preview season, even though it's only, what, late March, early April?
You know, the excitement is always there, but the way the college football landscape looks today, man, shoot. What you see in the spring may not be what you see in the fall, the way that the transfer portal and everything else works these days. And at the same time, we're also looking at kind of the dying out of the spring football games, right? Even here at Southern, it's going to be called more the spring showcase. What's your thoughts of the spring games and the kind of doing away with them? And it's not really the huge factor that it once was.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's just the evolution of the game, and all, and also too, Perry, like with no spring window this year, injuries are so much more, I was to say, impactful on a team's trajectory. Because Perry, let's take Southern for example, because we're on the Jaguar Journal. If Southern loses two offensive linemen, well, guess what, Perry? You can't just go to the portal and wait till the spring window and replace those guys if they have long-term injuries. You just lose those guys. And so I think teams are much more cautious. I've actually talked to three different head coaches at the Legacy Bowl this year, Perry, who said that last year it took the wrong approach and got banged up in spring. And they've had a handful of key players that really missed that developmental part of summer that could have used it going into the season. So I don't think Southern's alone in this thinking. And I think teams are going to have to come up with more creative ways to get the fans involved for spring. But if you ask the majority of head coaches, Perry, spring games aren't for the fans. They don't even care anymore. They're just like, man, let's get through this healthy. We make progress in practice, Perry, and we don't need to have a full-time game where we risk injury or anything like that to really show what we learned in spring. Let's get to the summer healthy, and we'll reconvene in fall camp.
You know, as we talk about the spring games and everything else, the transfer portal has become an essential part of college football now more than ever, especially with the addition of NIL. And for FCS Football Central, FCS Football, the top 30 FCS transfer portal class in 2026. Now, I'm interested in going through this with you because everybody has the questions of what guys are going where. So with you, let's kind of go through this. And at number 30, starting with a HBCU, is Morgan State out of the MEAC, a team that has not quite been able to find the success that Delaware State, South Carolina State, North Carolina Central has found, and even Howard. Morgan State has been right there still trying to find it, but yet they come in at number 30 in this top 30. They've gone out and tried to get some talent.
Yeah, I'm actually super impressed with their class, Perry. I think they did something this year that they haven't done in a while, and that's address a handful of needs offensively. They signed 56 players on signing day this year, and I thought they had some of the more impactful Division II transfers that we saw in FCS football. Jordan Barnett, a running back out of Shepherd, was one of our top running backs. He's a guy who's been a multi-year contributor there. 5'11", 220, Perry, has a really good size there. They signed a quarterback out of Wheeling who was splitting time as a starter last year. I think it was like 13 touchdowns, three picks from there as well. Wide receiver Joseph Towler out of Bowie State that I think can be a top contributor. And then they even went into the CAA and landed a guy who was a key rotation guy on the offensive line, and Tyler Happersham, who I think could be an instant starter for them. Went and got Kelson Sparks and Anthony Truman from two other FCS programs that are probably going to be plug-and-play starters on the O-line. I thought Morgan did an excellent job, and if this class has a high hit rate, Perry, they're going to be a contender in the MEAC next year. But again, as we always say with Morgan State, Perry, what is it? It comes down to whether they can pick the right quarterback. If you look at this team over the past 3-4 years, they've nailed defense. They've nailed running back. Offensive line's been hit or miss, but it has been improving. The one issue's been quarterback. Can they nail the quarterback spot?
And they've even been good in special teams as well as we continue to move through. Number 29 is Chattanooga coming in at number 28. And listen, we're talking the top 30 FCS transfers. Now, Nichols, a team just down the road from us, an FCS team, they come in at number 28. Briefly give us something on Nichols and what they've been able to bring in.
Yeah, I thought they signed a big class, but I don't know if it had the amount of like top contributors, but their class is really carried by their defensive back. Jamal Shelby was our number two ranked cornerback in the FCS in terms of signing guy. He was a starter last year at the FCS level, and then you also bring in Leonard Harris from Louisiana Monroe. They had a ton of needs, man, but they get Christian White from Mississippi Valley State, who played last year for Valley, Ellis Thorpe from UAPB. They had a few SWAC additions. I thought Nichols did a good job. And what they do is what Southern has done in the past few years, is where they get in-state guys who want to come home. And I think that's where these schools in Louisiana and Texas and Florida can really thrive, Perry, is because a lot of these kids in-state do leave because it's a highly recruited area. And in high school, then there's so many kids coming out of Louisiana that go elsewhere. But when they want to come back home, Perry, you know where they need to come to? Southern, Nichols, southeastern Louisiana. And I really do think Nichols did a really good job to get some of these guys to come back home.
Number 27, Central Arkansas, UCA. Number 26 so far on this list, Florida A&M. First year, Quinn Gray comes back, and he's taking over a program in which he found success as a player. And they've gone into the portal and trying to find success coming up this year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know where most of their class came from. It's from Albany State. That's really what a majority of their class. You got Isaiah Morrison coming in on the defensive line, Tyant Weish coming in at running back, Denzel Johnson. One of the top FCS transfers, Denzel Johnson, a linebacker coming from Alabama State, was a starter last year for the Hornets. I think that's an amazing addition for them. They added Jason DeLuna from ETSU at defensive back, but let's just be honest, Perry. The crown jewel of FAMU's transfer portal class was Isaiah Knowles. Two-time all-conference quarterback, was a Harlan Hill finalist, has been the conductor point guard of Quinn Gray's offense for, what, 2-3 years now? If this team's only going as far as Isaiah Knowles takes them, and in this class, even though it's ranked 26, when we look back on it at the end of the season, it's going to, like, the whole class is really going to be determined by how far Isaiah Knowles can carry this team.
Let's do this. Let's get ready to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll continue more of the conversation. I got my man Zach McKinnell of FCS Football Central. We're looking at the top 30 FCS transfer portal class coming into this spring and what the teams have to offer. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we are back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. Got my man Zach McKinnell joining us from FCS Football Central. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning, man.
All right, we're talking top 30 transfer portal across the country in FCS. We just got through talking about Florida A&M, who came in at number 26, the first SWAC school to break through. Now coming in at number 25, South Dakota State. We keep moving at number 24, North Dakota. At number 23, Rhode Island. At number 22, Holy Cross. Let's look at number 21, Magnesia, for just a quick second. What about Magnesia brings them to get them knocking on the door of top 20?
Landed a bunch of FBS guys that have significant snaps played, man, and a handful of FBS guys that should be instant starters. Isaiah Fowler from Valpo. But Amiri Wiggins from Louisiana Tech was one of our top five, I believe, running backs out of the portal that was signed with an FBS school. A guy at Louisiana Tech that played, that was a top contributor, and I think he could be one of the top running backs in FCS football next year. Coming out of the portal, I really did a good job addressing their needs. If you remember, Perry, they just hired a new coach going into last year, Matt Viator. And if you remember, he was at McNeese in the mid-2000s, early 2010s, when McNeese was going to the playoffs every year. Mm-hmm. He led them to 4 Southland championships. And I think last year was a rebuilding year when we went 5-7, 4-4. He knows what he's doing. He has access to the portal now, which he really didn't back in, you know, the mid-2000s. And I think he's building a really, really strong culture here. And I would expect McNeese eventually, man, to be a bigger factor in the Southland.
Yeah, they've been kind of in the dumps the past few years, but trying to get back to where they were in the past. Coming in at number 20, Western Illinois. At number 19, East Tennessee State University. Number 18, UT Martin. Then as we continue to move through, coming in at number, where was it, 18? It jumped on me. My bad. Let's see, here I am. UT Martin. Coming in at number 17, Eastern Kentucky. And then we go Idaho State, number 16. We go Northern Arizona at number 15. North Alabama at number 14. Youngstown State at number 13. Lamar is another program right up the road over there in Beaumont, coming in at number 12. Matter of fact, I want to stick on to Lamar a little bit because they're right here in our footprint. What about Lamar? Because that program has really been on the upside.
Man, Terry, personally, to give you, because obviously we had to have some sort of statistical factor here to determine these rankings. As much as you can try to control for class size, like class size has to matter, right, Terry? You just get more data points. The more players you sign, even though as much as you try to say over this ranking is based off of per player individual impact, it's impossible to create a measure that does that, right? Because the more data points you have, the more chances you have to sign really good players. I think Lamar, if you're ranking on a per player impact basis, had the top 10 class. Evan Bullock, in my opinion, is probably the most impactful signing at quarterback. Man, this is a kid that started at Louisiana Tech, was like on the all freshman team at Louisiana Tech, and just got hurt. And I have 14 touchdowns, only three picks, 2,100 yards as a freshman for them, but he was limited to 5 games last year, entered the season as a starter. He has a chance to be the top transfer quarterback in FCS. And then you got Parker Jenkins, who was a top 15 running back in our rankings. Devin Williams was a top 10 wide receiver, played at Houston last year. And then you switch to the defensive side of the ball, and they signed a ton of guys that are going to probably be instant impact starters. Brendan Bailey from UMass, Damon Green from Rice. But I love their D2 addition as well. They got Kamari Frederick coming in from Virginia Union on the defensive line, and Brandon Stuckey coming in from UND, who's a multi-time all-conference guy up there, has the perfect size, can play all 5 positions across the offensive line. Barry, I think Lamar took a massive step forward, and I would expect, they were a playoff team last year, I think they could make a push for the Southland Championship again and be a top team coming out of the Southland again.
And let's look at two teams that are left on this list that are in the SWAC. Tennessee Tech, that you have as the number one team with the transfer portal, and they spend a lot of money. You and I had a great conversation last year on and off the record about Tennessee Tech and the amount of money that they're putting into that program, the investment. But the two teams that's in the SWAC that made right there number 11 is Jackson State. And you're looking at Jackson State having to reload from the talent that they had last year. They did not win the championship. And you know why? Because they had to run up against Prairie View and Coach Tremaine Jackson, who teams come in at number 5. So the two teams played in the SWAC championship last year, Jackson State at number 11, Prairie View at number 5. I got about 5 minutes. Sum those two up for me and what they've been able to do in the transfer portal.
I just want to be transparent here, Terry. So the top two classes for Charlton and Tennessee Tech, like you mentioned, it was a massive gap between those two classes and the rest of the list. The difference between 5 and about 13, Perry, came down to like decimal points. I mean, they were all so tight. So Jackson really, I mean, you could just say of like 5 through 11 were almost tied here. And I love Jackson State's class, man. Coach C.C. Taylor went on the recruiting trail, Perry, and put in work. Virgil Marshall, who goes by Swipe, coming in from Western Kentucky at safety, one of my top signings for them. He was the starter at Western Kentucky, a key contributor. He dealt with some injuries. If Swipe can be healthy, man, instant impact guy there. Samson Israel plays significant snaps at Memphis in one of the top G5 conferences in the country. Both of those guys were in our top 10 positional rankings for corner and safety. Micah Gay was a starter at Tennessee State, a linebacker. Love that addition. Marion Ware from Louisiana Monroe, defensive tackle, played at ULM. But I look at a guy like Melvin Collins from Eastern Kentucky, Perry, played almost 200 snaps for Western Kentucky last year on the offensive line. And for me, that's where they really took a big step forward is on the offensive line. They signed a few guys that I think could be some key contributors there. And then I like a D2 addition they have, and Christian Aiken from Virginia Union. He has the size, versatility to be a really, really good inside linebacker. And so I thought Jackson State did a great job. And I think the one spot, Perry, that they really needed to upgrade, and I think you'll agree with me here, their secondary last year was a bit questionable at times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you look across all the talent that they brought in, I thought Jackson State took the biggest step forward in the secondary. And I think it was really good for TC to look at that, to look at the class and say, yeah, like we need to take a step forward here. And then also Jalen Foster at safety coming in from ULM. He reminds me a little bit of Trevor Randall, who was at PV last year, who also came from ULM. And so a really good addition for them. But moving on to PV here, man, to keep it brief, Jabari Kirkendall from Alabama State at running back, they added. Torrick Goins, UTEP wide receiver, was a key contributor as a freshman last year for UTEP. I really like his upside. Namani Harris from Northern Arizona started his career at Texas Southern, was a key contributor there. Played at NAU, has the versatility to play nickel, safety. I like the versatility there. Rondell Carter from Troy. But my favorite addition for them was Cameron Canterbury from ULM. Started 6 games last year for ULM, and when he was at the FCS level, Perry, was a freshman All-American at Long Island in 2023 and spent a year at West Florida, where he was also a key contributor. I thought what they did in the secondary, revamping that secondary, was amazing. And really and truly, man, PV and Tremaine Jackson have shown that they can evaluate talent. They know what they're looking for. They had a high hit rate last year. And I think their class this year may not have been as big, because I think they signed a little bit. I mean, they signed so many guys last year, but they still brought in a big transfer portal class in this year. I think it pushed to 70 with the high school guys. But it might have been a smaller transfer class, but I think they signed a better overall level of talent this year than they did last year. And I think that's really promising for a team that's looking to repeat.
For FCS Football Central, as you hear, Prairie View, A&M comes in with the highest rank of the HBCUs and highest rank, especially in the SWAC, coming in at number 5 overall in the country for FCS transfer portal guys. Blue, hang on with me for a minute. We're going to go to the other side, because everybody hear all of this and they say, hey, where was Southern at? I didn't hear Southern in this top 30. Well, we're going to look at Southern for what we know right now. There's not much. I've been looking for a roster. Blue, have you been able to find a roster?
No, I don't think we're going to get a roster until very close to week 1, if I do imagine.
There it is. So we'll go by what we know right now. We'll show you Southern University, who did not make the top 30 nationally on the FCS side, but we'll still take a look at Southern University and then start to take a look more so on the defensive side of the ball. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back more to Jaguar Journal. Got my man Zach McKinnell, a.k.a. Blue, from FCS Football Central. I'm Perry White, and good morning to everybody out there watching and listening across the world. Glad to have you guys with us. Stay tuned. We'll be back more to Jaguar Journal.